Acts chapter 22 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to look at verses 11 through 16, but mostly focus on verses 14 and 16. And the passage that we're looking at this morning is kind of a recap of an earlier event that took place in the book of Acts. By the way, side note commercial, if you're interested in the book of Acts, there's a Wednesday night Bible study going on at 6:30 in the cafe, led by me each night on the book of Acts. So if you want to come out, we have a snack syllabus, so there's always plenty of food. Come on out and be a part of it. Anyway, back to the text. Paul here is giving his testimony in Acts chapter 22. And it's, like I said, it's basically, as he's giving this testimony, it's a recap of what has taken place in Acts chapter 9. It's the story in the account of when Christ appeared to, at that time, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and called him out and called him into ministry. Basically, Paul's salvation story. And here we find Paul before an angry, crazed mob of Jewish people. And what's interesting about this is that the Roman soldiers in Acts 22 actually came to the Apostle Paul's defense here. He had been preaching, he had been teaching, and the crowd got angry at him and started to come against him. They, in fact, wanted to kill him. And the Roman soldiers actually came in to protect him because Paul was a citizen of Rome. And they had brought him in, and when Paul was before the judge trying to explain some stuff that was going on, he actually says to the judge, "I'd like to go back out and confront the people that were the crazed mob, and I want to tell them why I do what I do now and who I am now in Jesus Christ." Wow, that's pretty bold. Amen? I don't know if I was rescued from a crazed mob who tried to stop me from preaching the gospel, had the boldness and the courage to tell the authorities and tell the judge, "Hey, I want to go back out and talk to them. Can you let me go back out?" But that's what the Apostle Paul does here. And he's talking now to this crazed mob, so to speak, and giving his testimony in Acts 22. And I want you to follow along here with me, because the first couple of verses in Acts 22, or the first part of Acts 22 is about, you know, his encounter with Christ along the Damascus Road. How after, you know, he had that very famous scene that you and I know of where he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He then goes and he's told to go. Paul is then blinded by the glory of God, and then he is told to go and wait for a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias will come by, and Ananias will cure him of his blindness that he had had. Do you know why Paul became blind on the road to Damascus? Anybody know? Anybody know? He was blinded by the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, who appeared before him. It literally blinded him. So Paul now is getting to that point of the story in his testimony in our text that we're looking at this morning, talking about when Ananias came to him and how he was praying and waiting for Ananias to come. And it says, look with me at verse 11. It says, "And when I could see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your word this morning and for the message that you have prepared. And now, Lord, I pray that I would just be your vessel. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with you. I pray that I would come to the background and you would come to the forefront. Lord, I pray that our spiritual ears and eyes would be open to receive what you have for us today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So we've been going through this series of next step, moving forward in our faith. And we've hit on, as some have told me over the last couple weeks, some pretty bold and courageous topics. I've heard some from people saying, Pastor, you've been hitting a lot of preaching a lot of messages that are stepping on some toes and don't necessarily feel good, and hitting on some topics that are making me uncomfortable and some others uncomfortable. And my response to that is good. I knew it would be that way, and I knew it would be that it would be in that path. And so, praise the Lord. As a pastor, I'm called to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Amen. So that's what the Lord is doing here, and that's the only way often that we move forward in our next step in faith, right? In growing in our faith, is that the Lord has to make us uncomfortable with where we are right now and challenge us to move forward and give us the grace to do so, and the reasons we should move forward in faith. So we've been looking at these different things, and today I want to talk about a very simple topic, but to a lot of us, a topic that is very complex. And you can see it in the title of the message, Knowing His Will, or Knowing the Will of God. Knowing the Will of God. I think that would be, after being saved and serving, that I would hope that that's something that, as a Christian, you are always wanting to know. Amen? How many of you guys want to know God's will for your life? Amen? You desire to know God's will for your life. It's a very, very important thing. And it came about, the reason why this came about, one of the verses that was brought to me by a council member, is look at verse 14 with me again in Acts 22. And this is kind of where the jump-off point to the message will be this morning. It says, "And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee," Ananias talking to Paul, "that thou shouldest know his will." That thou shouldest know his will. What a great thing for Ananias to confirm to the Apostle Paul right there in that statement. I mean, how would you feel if you were a new believer in Christ and you had this dramatic experience that now you're blinded by, and the person that God said would come by comes by, lays his hands on you, prays for you, and one of the things he says is that you have been chosen to know the will of God. I don't know about you, but that would make me pretty psyched. That would pump me up a little bit. Any fear or any doubts or any tremblings that I may have would just disappear in that it has been confirmed that I am in the will of God right now. No matter what I may think, no matter the craziness that has happened, but that I would know His will. And can I tell you, church, I see a lot of people that raise their hands saying, I want to know God's will for my life. I want to be in the will of God for my life. And that is a very good thing. But can I tell you that we, over the years, and sometimes in our own little analytical mind, brought about by our culture, we tend to think a little too much when it comes to being in the will of God. We tend to overcomplicate things a little too much when it comes to being in the will of God. We've tended in the church to make it this almost big, mysterious puzzle thing of how can I really know, or what do I have to do, or how do I have this, or what job should I take, or what thing should I do, or what clothes should I wear? Yes, sometimes it even goes that far. What clothes should I wear? I want to make sure I'm in the will of God. Can I tell you this morning, church? Not that difficult to know God's will for your life. And I don't say that in any kind of a demeaning way to you this morning. All right? I say it because I want to help you today. I want to encourage you today. All right? Because you can walk in the confidence of God's will for your life by us looking at and applying what's going on here in that Paul shares in his testimony. I want us to be able to do that. It's modeled for us to understand. But again, the burden of you knowing God's will for your life and following through on God's will for your life, listen to me, it falls on you. Look at, and I know I'm playing a little bit here, a little bit of liberty with the text, but look at what Ananias says. It says that thou shouldest know his will. In other words, you can know his will, but it's up to you. You should know his will. It's there for you, but will you go with it? Will you yield to it? Will you understand it? Will you do it so you can walk in it? The burden is on you. So I have three things for you this morning, like the good recovering Baptist I am, and they all are alliterated, so I'm feeling pretty good about my preaching this morning. So look with me here at verse 14. The first thing that we know that if we want to be in the will of God and seek the, or if we want to be in the will of God, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is that we need to seek him. We need to seek him. Look at verse 14. Again, it says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Ananias saying this to Paul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now, why would we seek the Lord if we want to know what God wants for us? Well, first off, I want you to see something. You are to seek after the Lord to know his will for your life because he first sought after you. I love that. I love to hear people say, I'm so glad I found Jesus. Did you know you didn't find Jesus? Jesus found you. Jesus has been with you the entire time. He just so happened opened your eyes and you could see him there, but he's been with you the entire way. He has sought you since the day you were born to come into relationship with him. He has sought you to have your sins forgiven. He has sought you to redeem you. He has sought you to heal you. He has sought you to give you a purpose in this life to build his kingdom and to proclaim his name. He has sought you, therefore we should seek him. If he's the one that made you, if he's the one that ordained you, if he's the one that's given you the things that brought you into relationship and put you together, the personality and all your funny quirks, wouldn't you think to know that he's the one that has the answers as to the steps you should take next and the things you should do in your life? You gotta seek him, church. We want to know his will, we gotta seek him. You see, Paul was pursued. That's what we see. Paul was pursued by God. Here you have what would be the modern day Osama bin Laden. This man is going on and he's killing Christians. In fact, on his road to Damascus, he was actually going there to arrest Christians, kill them, and put them in jail. Not necessarily in that order. Be a little weird. But listen to me, church. And God stopped him. Jesus showed up. Saul, why do you persecute me? Notice he didn't say, why do you persecute my church? He said, why do you persecute me? Listen to me, church. When people persecute you for your faith, they're not just persecuting you, they're persecuting Jesus. Why? Because he stands with you. You are his bride. Saul, why do you persecute me? He sought out. And maybe you guys may be saying this morning, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't know my track record. Yeah, I may be saved, but I screwed up so much in the past that God could never do anything with me or God could never make anything good out of me. Listen to me. He took Saul, who was that day's Osama bin Laden, who killed Christians and turned him around and made him the greatest New Testament apostle that we know. Wound up saving and bringing more people into the kingdom than he ever killed. If he can turn the Apostle Paul's life around, I think he can turn my life around. I think he can turn your life around. Amen, church? How many of you guys can raise a hand in testimony saying, he has turned my life around? Let me testify to that this morning, Pastor. He has turned my life around. He sought you. He sought you. And look at what Paul's response was when he sought him. And this is where, I apologize, we're going to jump back and forth between the two stories. So I need you to also grab Acts chapter 9. Because you see, Luke records some things about Paul's experience that later on, Paul in his testimony, as Luke is recording it, gives just different things, but there's details there that go together. So go back to Acts chapter 9 here real quick. We see that Paul was pursued, and look at Paul's response when he is pursued. Look with me at Acts 9, verse 6. Jesus told him to pursue. It says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul didn't have to obey, but he sought where Jesus told him to go. He sought him. Now go down to the second part of verse 11. Now God has gone to Ananias, and he's telling Ananias, hey, I've got this new convert. His name is Saul of Tarsus. Do you know him? And Ananias, this is the Pastor Jeff paraphrase version, and Ananias says, yeah, I know him. In fact, he's a Christian killer. And he goes, yeah, and Jesus says, yeah, I want you to go down to where he's staying, and I want you to lay hands on him and pray, and I want you to heal him. And Ananias is like, huh? Jesus, do you understand if maybe I'm a little skeptical about that? You know, he might kill me and throw me in jail. And God says, no, I want you to go and I want you to do this. And look at what he says in verse 11. It says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Did you know that that street still exists in Damascus today? Most of the roads in Damascus are winy and curvy and crazy to navigate. There is one road that still exists that is straight. That is the road that's being talked about here. And that's where you get stay on the straight path for your life. Anyway, I digress. Here we go. Look, it says, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Look at this. I love it. For behold, he prayeth. You know what Paul was doing in that house? Blind, confused, maybe scared and waiting. He was seeking God. It says, and you will find this man praying. Wow, for Paul to get that early on in his faith and for us not to get it, no matter how many years that we've been saved a lot of times, that says a lot. You'll find him praying. Church, how often, if someone went to look for you, would the direction being given be, and you'll find him here, and you'll find him praying? You see, Paul was seeking the Lord. Paul was putting himself in a position to know God, to hear God, to see God, to know what is next. He was being obedient. Listen to me, church. The same goes for you and I. If we want to know the will of God for our life, it's as simple as once he has sought us and we have responded, now you've got to seek him. And you, just like Paul, have got to put yourself in position time and time again to know God, to see God, to hear God, if you want to get in his will and follow his will for your life. It's the same with you. And why is that? Because look, when we seek him, he prepares you for what's next in the will of God. I mean, what was Paul doing? Paul went there and he prayed and Ananias showed up. Paul had no clue that God was contacting him. God brought the pieces together in the background and made him ready for what was to come. And then sent him out. In fact, you read the story that after Ananias healed him and he gets his sight back and confirms for him, it says, and Paul went straight into the synagogues and started preaching. A converted man with a message and a story. He had to seek him. Listen to me, church. He will prepare you. And how do I know that he will prepare you when you seek him? Because the text says that he has chosen you. He's chosen you. He's got a job in mind for you for his kingdom. He's got something in his heart and in his soul that he wants you to build. He's just made you perfect for it. But he wants to reveal it to you. You see, before God ever calls you into something specific in the ministry to serve him, listen to me, first you got to get close to him and know a little bit about him. And then as you get close to him and find out about him and you know his grace and you know his love and you know his mercy and you see his salvation and you realize you're redeemed and you grow in wisdom and in stature, it's at that moment where the will of God begins to be brought out because you've sought him. And now God says, because you have sought me, go forth with my word and seek out others. And seek out others. But first you got to know him. First, you got to know him. Some of us wonder why, God, you saved me. I know you, but why, Lord, do I still have some uncertainties and some question marks as about what you want me to do and how you want me to serve and where you want me to go? It's because we have not spent enough time seeking and listening and hearing. You haven't been in worship enough for him to reveal you. You haven't sought the word of God. You haven't prayed and cried out to the Lord. Those are things that we have to do if we want to hear from him, church. We are to seek him. Second thing is not only seek him, but we are to share him. I remembered it. Share him. Look with me at verse 15 from Acts 22. Even I'm turning back and forth here. Look with me at verse 15 from Acts 22. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Notice Paul was taken through this whole entire moment, was converted under the grace of God, sought the Lord, saw the just one, heard the voice of his mouth. Why? So that way he could turn around and take what God has shown him when he sought him to share it with others. To make him known. Paul was to be a witness. And listen to me, in Acts 22, the text that you're looking at, he's doing it. He's in front of an angry Jewish mob that just tried to kill him. And he says, let me tell you why you got so angry with me. You're not mad at me. You're mad at the Jesus in me that has changed me. And listen to me. He turned my life around. He turned me from a Christian killer to a Jesus lover. And listen, the same God can do the same for you today. He wants to share the mercy. He wants to share the grace. He wants to share the hope. He wants to share the gospel message with people. He was a witness. Church, did you know that God did not just save you and download into you a bunch of information through your small groups and through your devotions and heal you and redeem you and show his faithfulness to you time and time again, and show up with his mercy, maybe even blind you of his glory sometime with revelation that he sends? Listen to me, he didn't give you all that for you to get fat and keep it to yourself. He gave you all that for you to go out and share his message with anybody you come into place with. We have a message to share, what God has done that he can also do for you. It says that he knows his will and saw the just one so that way he can hear the voice of his mouth. You're supposed to go forth and tell about the just one. You're supposed to go forth and tell about thus saith the Lord from his word. You're supposed to go forth and spread the gospel, church. We wonder sometimes why the church isn't growing. It's because we as Christians, whether we willfully do it or whether we're intimidated to do it, have shut our mouth about the gospel. Why? Because we're afraid of the persecution that may come. But Jesus has given you a story and has revealed his will to you so that you can go and share it. In fact, there's supposed to be a crop that's harvested. Turn with me to John 15, verse 16 real quick. John 15, verse 16, real quick. Listen to what Jesus says. And you'll notice some choice words as we look at some of these others. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. He's chosen you for service. Now, before we get off into any kind of theological concepts and stuff like that, you see the word chosen here. It's not predestination for your salvation. It's predestination for your service. Whether you respond to him is up to you. But he's got something in mind. You got to respond to find out what it is. And look, you can go forth to what? Bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In other words, the fruit is what? The fruit of your faith. Not just the fruit of your spirit that you get to show off for the glory of God, but the fruit of other people coming to faith through yours. Listen to me, church. There's some good questions that we need to start asking ourselves. When's the last time you shared your faith in Jesus Christ with somebody? Should I dare even ask, have you ever shared your faith in Jesus Christ with somebody? Well, Pastor, I don't necessarily have the theological education that you do. And Pastor, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to say and what I'm supposed to do. No, when God presents an open door for you to share the gospel, you obediently walk through it and you depend on his Spirit to give it to you as to the words to say and what to share. And you leave it rest where it may be. Well, Pastor, what if they make fun of me? What if they turn me away? Oh, well, that's on them. You're just supposed to share. Share Jesus. Listen to me. You look around at this world and all the heartbreak and all the brokenness and all the evil. I think this world could hear a little bit more about Jesus Christ and his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Listen to me. You don't have to come up with some theological thing. Just tell them, thus saith the Lord. What has he shown you? Listen to me. You may be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm a little shy. Listen to me. The best thing you have going for you in your life to prove the real existence of Jesus Christ, that he is who he said he is, that he did what he said he would do, is your testimony. No one can argue your testimony. You don't have to have any kind of theological argument or apologetics or anything like that. No one can invalidate the change that God has done in your life. You said, I once was blind, now I see. I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was a wretch, and now I'm a child of the King. I don't know how it happened, but glory to God, I know it did. Share Jesus. Share Jesus, because you're supposed to have a harvest. You're supposed to have a harvest. And I would hope one day when you get to heaven, you stand before that judgment throne, listen to me, that you're going to have a harvest of people that says, because of this man's faithfulness or because of this woman's faithfulness in sharing the gospel, I came to know Jesus, and I'm here today because they opened their mouth and they shared Jesus with me. Want to know God's will? Seek him and share him. Last but not least, we are called to stand for him. You want to know God's will? Stand for him. Go back to Acts 22, verse 16. It says, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul was called to stand. He's called to share too. But the will of God is also for Paul to stand. Where do we see that? Well, we see it in the fact that Ananias said, all right, you're healed, you got your sight, it's been confirmed. Go. And I wonder sometimes if God shows his will to us plain as day. It's not necessarily what we want to see or hear. And the Holy Spirit's there kicking us in the pant and saying, why tarriest thou? Go! Arise! Do it! It says, arise and be baptized. Well, Pastor, that's not much. I've been baptized. But listen to me. For Paul or any Christian in the early church to be baptized, it was a public thing with many witnesses. You were basically putting a death mark on your back if you got baptized in those days. I'm a Christian, and I don't care who knows it. The church was persecuted then. He was standing for Christ. He was standing for Christ. It was a public announcement. Go back with me to Acts chapter 9 quick. But that was only the beginning. You see, the will of God is not just for you to seek him. The will of God is not just for you to share him. But the will of God involves you, listen to me, standing up for Jesus. Which means people are going to come against you. And I'm not just talking about stealing your seat. I'm not just talking about unfriending you on Facebook. But they're going to come against you, and you need to stand for them. Look at what the will of God for Paul was in verse 15. Look at what it says in chapter 9, verse 15. Talking to Ananias, he says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Hey, that sounds pretty cool. Right? You read that verse and you're like, hey, I'd love to have Paul's calling. Right? He's going to stand before dignitaries. He's going to have the opportunity to witness and proclaim the gospel. Man, I read that as a pastor. I'm like, how cool would that be to stand in front of some of the most important people in the world and have the opportunity to share the faith of God? Read the next verse. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Suffer for my name's sake. There's a meme that's been passed around Facebook, and I printed it out this morning, and I thought I'd share it. Because we have this idea in our mind that to be in the will of God means that everything's honky-dory, everything's pie in the sky, and that if things start going downhill or we get persecuted against or if we get tired or if we get down and out or if we get discouraged or things don't go our way or if times get rough or people are mean or that we must be outside of the will of God. That is the farthest thing from the truth that Scripture shows us. It says that we will suffer for Him. Paul was told he will suffer for Him. And listen to me, no servant is greater than his master, Jesus said. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. But this meme says, remember, God's will was for John to be exiled, Paul to be jailed, and Jesus to be executed. Why do we assume God's will for us is to have a great job, a happy wife, and a large bank account? Come on now, let's be honest. The moment that we take a stand for the Lord and we start losing things of comfort in our life that we have been spoiled with, we oftentimes think we're outside of the will of God and something must be wrong and I've got to change. No. Listen to me, church. You may have to suffer. No, let me say, you will, in your faith, suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will at some time have to take a stand for Him. It's part of the will of God for your life. I know that's not a popular message to preach today in 2019 to a church that likes to feel good and go home. But folks, it's the truth. It's the truth. Paul here is being called before an angry mob. Yes, you're supposed to share the gospel with people who want to kill you. You're supposed to share the gospel with people who don't like you. You're supposed to share the gospel that people have ill will against you. That is the will of God, to share. And yes, listen to me. If you're hearing God's voice and you're sharing what God has said and you're proclaiming the gospel, listen to me. There's going to be repercussions because the enemy don't like that. Not just the enemy, the world don't like that. The world don't like that. Why do you think Chick-fil-A gets harassed so much? It's not because the world doesn't like Chick-fil-A sandwiches. It's because they take a stand for Christian values in Jesus Christ. Same with you. The same with you. But I hope that you would find yourself saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's prayer was that I may know Him, Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto death. I hope when stuff comes your way and things start to dwindle and people come against you and people mock you and hate you and persecute you. By the way, you say, well, Pastor, that hasn't necessarily happened to me. Well, maybe it's because you ain't doing the second one, which is sharing. When you share, the other will follow. I hope that you will have the same attitude as the Apostle Paul, but also Job, who says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. You know, I love hearing people say, well, Pastor, you know, if it ever gets to the point where Christianity becomes illegal and they says, I can't go to church, you better believe I'm going to go to church. And oftentimes my answer is, you don't even go to church when it's legal. You want to know God's will? Seek Him. Share Him. Stand for Him. Seek Him. Share Him. Stand for Him. Look, it's not just knowing God's will. Listen to me. It is God's will for your life. I said, you know, we make this thing a little too complex. This is simple. As the worship team gets ready to come back up, you may be saying, well, hold on, Pastor. You started this message, and I thought, well, finally, I'm going to get some answers. Finally, I'm going to get some specifics in my life as to where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do and what God wants me to do for a living and who is my soulmate for my living, because I want to be in the will of God, and I pray that all the time. Stop thinking about yourself when it comes to the will of God for a second. And think about the bigger picture here. Because the bigger picture is the gospel. Listen, Paul was given it. Listen to me. When you seek Him, share Him, and stand for Him, the details will eventually come to pass. You may not like them. But let's start with the basics first. Because the seek Him, share Him, and stand for Him applies to everything in your life. It don't matter if you're a teacher or a garbage truck driver or if you have $1 million or if you have $1 to your name. It doesn't matter if you're single or married or widowed. Everything there applies because, you see, that's what the will of God is. How many of you guys remember in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says what? He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Listen to me, you know what that means? We desire for the will of God to be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? That when the king decrees something, it gets done. And everything about it brings glory and honor to His name. Not necessarily what you want, but glory and honor to His name. You see, that's what the will of God is about, church. That's why you can take these three things about the will of God and you can follow the will of God for your life no matter what it may be. Seek Him, share Him, stand for Him. Because in doing that, you are obeying Him and you're seeking to bring His name glory no matter what it may be, no matter what may come to pass. Seek Him, share Him, stand for Him. Pastor Jeff, I've made some rough decisions in my life. I don't know if God can still use me. Listen to me, you are not that powerful to blow God's will for your life. You are not that all-encompassing to blow God's will for your life. If God can redeem and use Saul, He can redeem and use you. Every head bowed and every head closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen to me, church. The very first thing in the will of God that you are called to is to know Him. The Word says that God desires for all men and women to be saved. That's why He's pursuing you. That's why He's chosen you. You can't know God's will from your life apart from Jesus Christ. So maybe you got questions and maybe you got doubts. Can I tell you, if you're here today and you're not saved, what God's will for your life is? It's very simple. For you to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. For you to realize that you're a sinner, that there is nothing you can do of righteousness on your own to get to heaven, and cry out to Him to save you. Put your faith and trust in His work on the cross. I wonder if there's someone here this morning that's you. You say, Pastor, I've always wondered and I've always had doubts and I've always had reasons, I've always been confused, but now it makes sense. The part I'm missing is Jesus. And the Word says that that's His will, that all would come to the saving knowledge of His Son. If that's you here this morning as this last song is being played, or maybe you don't want to come up in front of everybody, listen to me, if you are scared of coming up in front of everybody, first off, everybody should be praying. Second, people are going to rejoice if they see even one person come to saving grace in Jesus Christ. It's not a condemnation. I don't care if you've been going to church here and been a member here for 30 or 40 years. I care that you get saved. And the people here care that you get saved. So if that's you, come forward during this final song, or after the service, come and see me. I'll be up here. And we can get that first piece of the puzzle out of the way, the most important piece of the puzzle. Listen to me, the only one that truly matters. But Christian, if you're here today and you've always had some questions as to what would God have me do? Am I in the right job? Am I living in the right place? Am I serving in the right areas? Don't overcomplicate things. Do what Paul did. Let someone find you praying. Seek the Lord. Listen to me, Christian. Seek the Lord while he may still be found. Seek him. When's the last time you shared your faith? You got all that knowledge and all those experiences and all those blessings and all of that stuff that you could tell someone to encourage someone and bring them farther in their faith, or even witness to them about the glory of God, that Jesus is real and that he's still in the saving business. Have you kept it all to yourself? Are you sharing it? Maybe, Pastor, I'm going through the ringer today and I don't know how much longer I can do this. My faith has costed me a lot. Stand for him. Stand for him.